Welcome to Stout for Christ, a radio ministry of Stout Memorial United Methodist Church in Parkersburg, West Virginia, with our host, Sarah Sisson.
I'm Sarah Sisson, host of Stout for Christ, and we're glad you're listening to our radio show today. Stout for Christ is a ministry of Stout Memorial United Methodist Church located at 3329 Broad Street in Parkersburg, West Virginia. We invite you to become a member of our Stout Church family. We offer two worship services each Sunday, a contemporary worship service at 8:45 and a traditional worship just following this broadcast at 10:45. If you can't join us in person, our services are broadcast live on Facebook and YouTube. Stout for Christ is a ministry meant to help us navigate life and learn more about God's love for all people. Today our topic is knowing our community, and here to help us learn more about this subject is Pastor Helen Oates. Welcome, Helen.
Well, thank you, Sarah. Thank you. We had a presenter from our annual conference who shared a piece that was called Mission Insight. And in that report, we had a range of a 10-minute drive to our church at Stout Memorial at 3329 Broad Street. And, so it was... It wasn't a square box or a round circle kind of radius kind of thing, but it went into, you know, the different communities, you know, as long as it would take 10 minutes to get to the church. And it was real interesting the kind of information that Mission Insight brought to our group there at the church. Around our community. How do we know our community? And, you know, we just came off of an election, and we have, we're beginning to see all of the ads that pop up on our phone and all the ads that come on television, so that we, as well as radio, so we have this way of everyone buying their own airtime, but we had to make a decision about who we were going to be voting for. And, you know, as that happened on Tuesday, it's a way for us to be engaged with our community. Now, usually primary elections don't bring out very many folk, but so I hope you voted. I hope you decided that you were going to be a part of the community in which we live, and decided to vote, as well as taking time to do some research on who we vote for. But so as we know our community, we know we have community leaders who are, certainly a part of our community. And so part of what we did with our learning and growing together around this piece of knowing our community, it was of hearing people who have talked with community leaders. You know, what do our leaders consider most important, or what do they consider how the church can help address those important needs? What does the principal at one of the schools consider what's needed within the community? What is it that we are glad that we are part of this community in Parkersburg? There were a number of things that brought some unique information to us as we began that conversation of how we know our community. And one of the things that we learned was that roughly there's two-thirds, there's about 30,000 people that live within that 10-mile drive of Stout Memorial United Methodist Church. 30,000 people. And out of that 30,000, two-thirds or 20,000 are unchurched. How do we begin as church to reach that 20,000? What's the makeup of that 20,000? And so it was real interesting to learn some of those statistics. You know, we often consider Parkersburg an older community. You know, we look at the churches that we have, and, you know, we have lots of gray hair and white hair in our churches and congregations. So we assume that it is an older, you know, a place filled with older people. But what this Mission Insight told us was that our median age was 43. And I thought, oh, 43, well, that's not so old, you know. But then, you know, as we heard that 43 to 45 age group, people were looking at, you know, folks who have raised their kids. They're now seniors or graduating, and some of the empty nesters who find themselves with available time to do other things that takes them outside. You know, people then decide to move toward the beach or to move into the mountains or, you know, to be able to relocate in other areas. So if we want to think about 43 versus 30, you know, if we had our median population around 30, I think we would have more children. We would have more children, especially the younger age children, in our schools. But one of the statistics that surprised me was that we have 48% of the households are single-parent households, 48%, which left, you know, 52 with two adults in that household. And we know that sometimes it might be a single parent with a mother or father or even a grandparent that makes up the other adult in that family grouping. But it, as a way of being able to hear, you know, we don't have, what was that show in the Beaver?
Leave It to Beaver?
Leave It to Beaver, yeah. You know, we don't have we don't have those type of households. In fact, in another 5 or 10 years, those percentages will flip, and we'll have more single parent families than we will families that have two adults in them. What do we know about our community, and how can we, as the church, begin to make a difference? So that's part of what we're struggling with at Stout Memorial. How can we, as the church, be able to reach and provide, in some respects, what the church does best in terms of bringing encouragement and love and care around individuals? How we can then be able to walk with people through their journey, as long as they, you know, of course, want the church to do that with them. But just lots of statistics that kind of surprised me as we shared that Mission Insight in terms of what our community actually looks like instead of what we think it looks like.
As a mission-oriented church that has done so much around the community, I think this was an important exercise, as you said, in sight of what our community looks like, because I think many of us have a different perspective of that, and it's not necessarily the reality, but that just helps us ensure that we're meeting the true needs of our community and, going where we're called.
Yeah.
So what do the community leaders in the area, you mentioned that those were in the area were interviewed, so what did they have to say?
Yeah, and I'm going to pause that question for just a second, because I do want, you know, in terms of how the church made itself ready for this this learning opportunity was we also went out into the community, whether Belpre or Parkersburg or the north end of Parkersburg, like where Stout is located, some into the communities, the subdivisions where they live, and people did prayer walks, praying for those who lived in the houses that they passed by or the businesses that they passed by, a prayer walk, trying to have God, to discern where it is that God is leading us in terms of the need within our community. And you know, one of the things when I suggested that we had 20,000 unchurched people, you know, Jesus said the harvest was plentiful. So, and similarly, that's a big word for me to say. We have the harvest is plentiful. But to get back to your question regarding community leaders, I did not know that in Vienna, the fire department was a volunteer fire department. You know, so the way in which, you know, how important volunteers are needed in our community. Faith Link is an organization that helps to helps people to get to their doctor appointments or get to the grocery store, or you know, those kinds of people who do not have transportation, and FaithLink tries to link that individual up with a within our church. Yeah, folks who volunteer, and one of the ladies this week who volunteered, talked about that experience and how. Oh, for 8 or 10 years now, she's been a driver, just someone who will pick someone up in their car and take them to wherever they need to go and take them back home again. What that means for the individual. So one of the things that was surprising in terms of what we heard from the community was the community doesn't want the church just to do a one event and have that be the thing, but wants the church is to be continually engaged in ways to be able to be helpful. So, you know, I know sometimes we have food drives or things of that nature, but to for us not to put all of our mission work into just one basket of this is how we're going to be in mission in our community, but rather to be diverse in those efforts. And we can imagine, you know, as community leaders, they did talk about poverty, kin care, ways that other people are helping to raise children, especially grandparents who are involved in raising their grandchildren. And it is, a growing population of grandparents who are doing that. I had someone speak to me about a friend of his who's 83 years old. And he just, it kind of shook him that his friend is caring for his grandchildren at 83 years of age. So, how we begin to work within the community in such a way to help bring some wholeness that is going on. I heard on the radio the cost of what it is to go to the city pool this summer. And I thought about these single families, these single parent families. You know, you have so many you have so many parts, whether it's childcare or wanting to go to the pool or trying to see a movie, these things that are kind of for a single parent family being looked at as, you know, these are the extras. And if we don't have the extra, then that event's not going to be able to happen. So, yeah, how we begin to bring some equality into the way in which our families, you know, I know Parkersburg is in the midst of building the great big facility there on City Park, which we hope that it will be a facility that every child, every young adult can be able to participate in, that everyone can go around the pond when it's completed and filled with fish. Everyone can throw a line into the pond in order to try to catch a fish. So it's not just based upon what someone has or doesn't have.
Absolutely. So something else about the church is that we are called to be the hands and feet in the body of Christ, right?
That is right. You know, we are a Christian community in terms of our churches. And the way in which we can help embody Jesus, you know, Jesus, his compassion. Sometimes I wonder how compassionate our commissioners are. You know, the compassion that is offered to our community, the way in which we can, as the church, represent the body of Christ. Compassion, kindness, care, you know, all of those ways that help to foster. See, what that does, it helps to foster feeling good about oneself, of the one who's able to receive that kindness. You know, that someone can see me. Someone can see that I'm here and paying a mortgage or a rent, and someone can see what it's like to try to put food on the table. Someone can see what, you know, the difficulty in managing a home that, especially where there's only one parent involved. So, you know, we come to these kinds of concerns because we are the hands and feet of Christ, and it is what the church does best to help to represent Jesus to the world, that we become that light. And it means that as church, we got to decide to quit our grumbling. We got to decide to quit, you know, saying, oh, they have 200 people in worship and we don't. And what can we do to mirror what they're doing? And, you know, that's not the point. The point is that we are placed where we are. Each congregation, each church, each gathering, you know, of God's people, we're placed where we are. And our goal is to, you know, involve the Holy Spirit in enabling all of us to grow where we're planted. But not just to grow for ourselves so that we can move to another building and a larger building or any of that, but to grow our people deep in faith so that they in turn become disciples. You know, if we had all of our church folks to be disciples who would then walk alongside of the folks in our community who need hope and encouragement, whether it's single families, whether it's the issue around our homelessness, but it's about making a connection. And really, that's what the church can do best, is making those connections.
So what's happening at Stout?
Well, you know, we are doing, you know, I've gone through the statistics in terms of how our younger age is declining, and, you know, we're not having as many children born in the community like we did have. And so, you know, on the surface of that, you look at that and you say, you know, so no wonder preschools are closing or daycares are closing. We don't have enough children to fill those spaces. Well, that's when you just kind of look at the numbers. But at Stout, we're stepping out in faith, because we know that God wants us to be involved in the lives of families. And so we are putting together a new preschool ministry that's going to walk alongside of the families who come to be a part of that preschool ministry. It's not just a place to drop kids off, but it's a place in which to be engaged, where folks will call you by name, will be concerned about what's going on within your life. You know, is your child dealing with the death of a grandparent? You know, to be able to help support and encourage, to be a face, whether it's at a funeral home, to be a face that shows the child or youth that, yeah, I know them from the church where I go to preschool. You know, to be that kind of a presence for the children. So it reminded me of a biblical story. God instructed one of the prophets at a time when Assyria, a foreign power, was coming down hard on Jerusalem, had already captured Judah, which is north of Jerusalem, but was coming down, and people knew that they were going to be overthrown. They knew that they were going to be losing their homes and the places in which they worshiped. And it was at that point when God said to one of the prophets, now I want you, you know, your cousin owns a piece of property and he's trying to sell it. You know, he's trying to get out of town as quick as possible. But I want you, you know, God said to the prophet, I want you to go and purchase that property. I want there to be a sign of hope that happens within this community. And I feel that's what God is calling Stout to be a sign of hope for us, to be a sign of hope where we say, yes, they're all closing up, but we're going to open a preschool, to be a sign of hope where we say, you know, we're concerned about our families, and you know, we want to provide some maybe financial training for young families, or maybe it's an opportunity to sit down and talk with a pediatrician about, you know, what are some health care issues that go on. I remember the youngest that we were surprised by. I don't know why, but he'd like to sit on the steps, and he would bang his head onto the plastic ridge coverings that were on each step. And he would sit there and he'd bang his head and bang his head. And my husband would say, well, aren't you going to do something about that? And my response was, well, if it would hurt enough, he'd stop. But of course, it was the next day that he had a pediatrician visit. And the pediatrician saw those ridges across his forehead and asked, what in the world happened? And I told him how he would bang his head. But it was, for me, one of my most difficult things as a parent was to be able to figure out the doctoring part. when do you take the child to the doctor? Because sometimes you get there and they say, oh, it's just a cold. It will pass, you know. When do we think that that temperature of 102 will come down with Tylenol or some other kind of fever reducer medicine? When are we the doctor? And I would just like for our parents to be able to have a conversation with a pediatrician around that topic, to be able to share just some insight, you know. So I had a book that was called Dr. Mom, and it got to be well-worn, trying to figure out all of the things that children bring home.
That can be a lot. Well, we have talked a little bit about, you know, kids and the community. So we are actually having a vacation Bible school soon, right?
We are. We're having a vacation Bible school in June on Friday and Saturday nights, beginning at 6 o'clock and then going to 8 or 8:30. And those dates are June the 12th and 13th in terms of the evenings. And then to complete the Bible school experience then on Sunday morning at 10:45. Our person who's directing our Bible school is, the way that she phrased it was, I just want them to have fun. So to be a place to be able to have fun, to experience games and crafts and you just to hear a biblical story, to be able to experience the fun on those evenings. And maybe we'll conclude by trying to catch lightning bugs, I don't know, as we get into the evening. But just to have fun, because God has created us and wants us to know joy and the way in which He can bless us.
Yes, and if you're interested in putting a child in your life at Vacation Bible School, all are welcome. You don't have to have a connection to the church or the Methodist church. It's free of charge, and all are welcome. So that was a great discussion, and I know that there is someone listening today whose life is touched by your wise words of hope in Christ and love for us all. Thank you, Helen.
Thank you, Sarah.
If you were blessed by this program today and want to know more about how you can become part of the Stout Memorial United Methodist family, tune in to Stout Memorial's Facebook Live worship broadcast just after this program at 10:45 a.m. Send an email to stoutmemorial@gmail.com or attend a worship service in person at 8:45 and 10:45 each Sunday morning. This has been Stout for Christ, a radio ministry of Stout Memorial United Methodist Church, Parkersburg, West Virginia.